Hello, ladies. This is Teresa Senecola and Alicia Baptiste of the International Christian Mompreneur Network. And we are here today for our weekly prayer cafe, and it's actually been a couple of weeks. We have not been all that consistent this summer. Life has just sent us in different directions, and I'm really looking forward to kind of getting back into the regular routine of this little spiritual nourishment every week. And today's just the perfect day to get started, because as we record this, it is September 11th, which is a prayerful day for me and for many of us in the United States. And it's also kind of the day after Hurricane Irma kind of hit Florida, and we're dealing with a lot of devastation there, and recently Harvey and Houston and all kinds of other natural disasters taking place. So there's a lot going on in this country and in this world, and certainly all the more reason to turn to prayer every day and as often throughout the day as we can. So I thank you, Alicia, for leading us today, and I will let you take over.
Thank you, Teresa. And I think that when it seems like the world is just being shaken, you know, everything that we feel like we've put our confidence in, that we kind of, the way we expect life to be when it's not that way, you know, these natural disasters, and, you know, even our own personal crises that we go through, I think it's always a good thing to kind of go back to the basics. And that's kind of what I wanted to do for the coming weeks, is just kind of go back to the basics. I want to go back to a series that I did back in 2016 that really focuses on our identity, who we are, and really being reminded and maybe learning for the very first time who we are and what God has done for us. Mm-hmm. And today, our topic is, you are deeply loved. I think, you know, as I've been thinking about a lot of what's going on, sometimes one of the things that we often wrestle with is, are we really loved and accepted as we are? And we do lots of things in order to be loved and accepted by people. We do things to receive people's approval. We're always looking for someone to say that we're okay. And we do that many, many different ways. But I believe that we can find rest within our souls when we recognize that we are already deeply loved and accepted as we are today without doing anything extra. We can't lose it. There's nothing we can do that will diminish God's love for us one iota, no matter what we've done in our past, no matter what we do in our future. That doesn't change. And so if we are able to grab hold of that truth and never let it go, it can transform the way that we live our life. And so I want to look at several different scriptures. We're just going to kind of go through and look at what the scripture teaches us about God's love for us. I want to start with 1 John 3:1, and it reads as follows. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And so the first thing that I wanted to say about that is that he says God's love is lavish, which means it is overflowing, abounding. It really has no end. It's not this minuscule, it's not this stingy kind of love, but it is extremely abundant and generous. It is rich, it is deep, it is wide. And there's another scripture in Ephesians that talks about how God's love is how high and wide and deep is the love of God. And actually, Paul prays for the Ephesians that they would know the immensity of God's love. I think I'm going to turn to that real quick. I wasn't planning on turning to that, but just thinking about the lavishness of his love, I think I'm just going to quickly turn, if you would. permit me to read when he talks about just the depth of God's love for us. I can find it quickly. See. I don't see it real. I can't find it real quick. But I do want to encourage you to go and look in Ephesians. It's in the first part, like in verses. It's in the first or the second chapter where it talks about the immensity of his love, and it talks about the depth, the height, the width of his love. Anyway, if I find it later, I'll bring it back another week. But God's part of his love is that he brings us into his family as one of his children. That's his love. He gives us just an infinite amount of benefits of being part of his family. He gives us promises. He gives us a great inheritance, an inheritance that we can't even fathom what he has for you. As a matter of fact, it says that eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard the things that God has prepared for his children. So he has some things that are just beyond our imagination prepared for us. And he's just a heavenly father that has good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Because he loves us and his love is lavish, he pours out his goodness on us in just a variety of ways. One of the best ways, or I guess the greatest way that he demonstrated his love for us, let's look and see what that one is. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verses 9 through 12, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So the greatest way that God demonstrated his love to us, all mankind, is that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, so that we might be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, so that we might be transferred from death into life, so that we might be transferred from a place of guilt and shame and instead become pure and holy and forgiven. He sent his Son so that we might have a new destiny, that he might give us a new name. All this he did because he loves us. And I think John 3:16, which is a very familiar scripture, God so loved the world. He so loved every single person that has ever lived, will ever live. He loved each of us so much that he sent his one and only Son, not one of a million sons, but his only Son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, would not be destroyed, would not die, but instead receive life that lasts forever. That is how much he loves us. And so no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, one of the greatest ways that he shows his love for you and he shows how valuable you are to him is that he sent his Son to die for you, personally, you. Not just the whole world collectively, but he died for you. And when Jesus was on the cross and his Father forsook him on that cross, all of that he did because you were on his heart. But I think about Jesus when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was a moment of great agony that Jesus endured. He endured the agony of the cross because of the joy that was set before him. It talks about that in Hebrew. What was the joy that was set before him? He was thinking about the joy that was to come, and that was you and I, that we might come near to him, that we might be a part of his family. He was willing to endure being separated from his Father, something that he had never in all of eternity experienced. He did that so that we might come into his family and so that we might never, ever be separated from him. The promise that he's given us is that he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. So we will never have to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he will never forsake us. That's how much he loves us. In 1 John 4th chapter in the 16th verse, it says this, and so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And so we put our confidence in this love. John, as he wrote this this letter, he says, we know. Like, he has experienced. He's not just, it's not just an intellectual love that he has heard somebody talk about. See, John was one of Jesus' disciples, and he had seen and experienced love firsthand. He knew of this love. He had experienced Jesus caring for him, teaching him, being patient with him, and even coming back from the dead and talking to him and the other disciples. He had experienced, he had seen Jesus suffer and be crucified and die on that cross. And he knew this love. And he put his confidence, not in his own ability to be a good person, not in his own ability to be productive or get things done. He put his confidence in God's love. Why did he do that? Because he knew that God's love could never fail him. And we can have our confidence in God's love as well. We know that God's love cannot fail us. It cannot fail. It's not possible. We know that his love has no bounds. There is no place where we can go outside of his love, where we have gone too far that his love cannot reach. His love can reach those places and even beyond. And so we can put our confidence that no matter what we've experienced, no matter what we've done, we know that his love is able to reach those places and heal us and restore us and meet the deepest needs of our hearts. His love is able to do that. We can put our confidence in that. If we go down to verses 18 and 19, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so when we put our confidence in this love that God has for us, when we understand and know that he loves us so much, not only can we not do anything that is outside the bounds of his love, but in every circumstance and situation in our life, no matter what we're experiencing, if we're in the middle of a hurricane right now, if there's flooding, if we've lost everything, we don't have to fear, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Where do we go from here? We also don't have to fear, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to me? Oh my goodness, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens to my child? All the anxiety that we live in under, that we live under in our culture today, we don't have to live in that kind of anxiety because we can find our rest and our peace in knowing that we are loved by this great and supreme God who is ruler of the entire universe, who knows everything, who sees everything, where there is nothing that is outside of his ability to command. There's nothing hidden from his understanding. He has perfect wisdom in all things. He knows what is best for us, and so we don't need to fear. At any moment, no matter what happens, we can say, oh, you know what? My father has me in the very center of his hand, in the palm of his hand. He's going to take care of us. Whether we've lost everything, I know he's going to take care of us. I don't know how it's going to happen. This is hard, but I know he has not abandoned us, and I know he will only bring into my life that which is the very best. I know it's good because I know it came through the hands of a loving father. I don't need to fear. I don't need to fear for the future because I know he sees the future and he has the future in his hand. And he's going to take me safely to the very best place I need to be. I don't need to be afraid of, oh my goodness, what if my kid doesn't do well on the SAT or the ACT and they don't get into the college that they need to be in, and then their whole life goes into this terrible path because of this bad decision they make. I don't need to be afraid of that because I know he loves my children, and I know that he is able to get them where they need to be. It might look really shaky and ugly and messy right now, but I know that he has them in the very palm of his hand. When I rest in his perfect love, when I remember, when I meditate on his love for me and for those that I love, it drives away fear. Anxiety is demolished because I know that his love, there's nothing that is outside of the bounds of his love. There's no place that his love cannot touch. He truly loves me. I want to switch gears a little bit and move to John, the 15th chapter, and read verses 9 and 10. Give me a second to turn there. And these are the words of Jesus. And if you keep in mind, I was reading from 1 John, which was a letter written from John, and then I'm going to read John's writing as well. He's writing, recording the words that Jesus spoke to he and the other disciples before Jesus gave his life on the cross. And he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We know that the Father loves Jesus. There were a couple of times in Scripture where the Father actually says, he says, this is my beloved, this is my Son whom I love. He very clearly says that he loved Jesus. And Jesus is saying, in the same way the Father loved me. And Jesus rested in the love of his Father. He wasn't shaky about it. He didn't wonder and hope, and he wasn't trying to earn the love of the Father. All that he did was grounded in the love that he and the Father had, that they had always had with one another. And he rested in that. And he moved forth out of that love relationship. And so as Jesus experienced this real love, not this hope, wishy, you know, kind of love, but a very real love from the Father, in the same way Jesus loves us. And in the same way Jesus lived and made his home in the love of the Father, he wants us to live and make our home in his love. What does it mean to make your home in his love? I think part of that is just being very aware, reminding yourself daily, moment by moment, sometimes every other second, just reminding yourself of his love, reading scripture that reminds you of his love, stopping for a moment when you feel yourself having anxiety, when you feel yourself worrying, when you feel yourself putting this pressure on yourself to make things happen, and just taking a moment to say, wait a minute, I am loved. I am loved. And because I'm loved, he, my Father, my Heavenly Father, is with me in this moment. He sees and he knows what is best. And he is in the unseen realm, doing things to bring about his very best in my life and in the life of people that I care about. So I don't need to worry. I need only to rest in his love and do the work that he has placed before me. I'm not responsible for the outcome. I'm simply responsible for being obedient to do the work that he's placed before me. And sometimes there's nothing you can do but sit. As I think about people right now who are sitting in shelters, as Hurricane Irma is doing its thing, and right now, that's the work before them, is just to sit and rest and be where they are and be present with the people that are around them and know that right now they don't know what the condition of their houses, their cars, their businesses. There's a lot of unknowns. But if they were right now to grab hold of what they do know, and that is there is a God in heaven who is in control of the storms. And yes, you may have a lot of questions as to why would he do all of this. We don't understand. We can't see the big picture. But we know he can, and we know he refuses to give us anything less than his very best. And sometimes the very best can look and feel like the very worst. We can rest in his understanding. We can put our confidence in his love. We can remind ourselves of how he has shown himself to be faithful and loving to us in the past, how he has shown himself to be faithful and loving throughout history and in the lives of other people that we know. Grab hold of that truth and don't let it go. Be like this pit bull that just refuses to let go of the truth that he loves you right now in whatever uncertainty you find yourself in. Hold on to the certainty, Barak, that he loves you and he is bringing about his very, very best for you right now. Make your home there. Do not stray. Do not try to go somewhere else. Don't run from his love. Stay right there in it. And as you do that, you will love other people. You will see other people in anxiety and fear who are struggling with their own uncertainties, and you are able to reach out to them with the same love that you have received and are experiencing as you make your home in love. And as you do that, there's this beautiful cycle that takes place. You experience even more of the love of the Father because he wants not only you to rest in his love, but he wants you to join him in this partnership as he loves people through you and I. And so, Lord God, I pray right now that each one of us, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would take these truths deeper than they've ever been, take them to the very deepest parts of us, that we might know that we are deeply loved. There is no part of us that is untouched by your love. Perhaps there are places in our lives that we have closed off to you. And Father, I pray that today would be the day that we say, okay, God, let your love go there. Touch that place. The place that I have refused to go, you walk with me there and heal and restore. Make me whole again. There are some that are sitting in places of uncertainty, Lord God. Would you just make this truth as plain to them as their fingers in front of their face? May it be just that real. Would you give them very real examples? Like, show them today in a very real way, in a very certain way, in an unmistakable way, that you love them and that you love the people that are around them. And Lord, would you teach them how to make their home in your love, to never stray from it, to stay put, to remain there, to abide right there in your love from this point for the rest of their life and even beyond this life. God, we pray for those who are experiencing the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma and the wildfires and the earthquake in Mexico and Hurricane Katia in Mexico. Lord, there's a lot going on in this world on top of all of the unrest from other things that have been going on, Father. We are certain. We have a lot of uncertainties about all of that stuff. We don't know what's going to happen with people, but we are certain that you are in control of this universe, God, that you have a purpose and a plan for all things, and we know it is good. Like, we rest in that. And if we're not able to rest in that, Lord, would you help us to rest in that? That you love this world. You love every single person in this world. And as a matter of fact, that's why you haven't come back yet. It seems like you're taking a long time, and some of us maybe say, okay, God, go ahead and come back now because this is getting crazy. But you desire that all people would come to know you. You want no person to perish apart from you, and that's why you haven't come yet. That you are patient and long-suffering. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us your heart to be patient and have long suffering with people as well. Give us a desire to see people come to know this lavish love that we've experienced. And for those who are on this, who listen to this recording, and they just flat out haven't experienced your love, it sounds, perhaps hearing God loves you, Jesus loves you, sounds like some little trite expression that Christian people say that really don't mean anything. Father, I pray that you would show them in such a way that they are convinced of your love. Not because I want this for them for some personal gain, because I have nothing to gain from them knowing this, but so that they might know and love and experience your love, because it transforms us from the inside out when we encounter your love. And I want that for them because you want that for them. That was the whole point of you bringing Jesus and having him die on the cross, is that every single person might experience that. So, Lord, I pray that may we all cling to the certainty of your love and rest in it. We ask all of these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for sitting with me in this moment where I don't know, you know, it's September 11th, as Teresa said, and, you know, it's already a day that we remember some horrific events that have happened today. And may, as we ponder these things, may it cause us to really want to know this love and make our home in the love of God. Pray that for you. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Blessings. Goodbye.